You've just entered the baddest biker bar in the investment world. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, this is the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, which evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. It does it by bringing together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. They dig in at the footnotes level and work their way up. When they find that something is misleading, but it works for you, well, that would make something attractive. But more often, what we're looking at is something that works against you, where the skin deep look is great and the dig in looks ugly. That makes something dangerous. Go to newconstructs.com to find out how it works. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. Kyle, great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
CoreWeave.
Danger, danger.
CoreWeave. It's ticker symbol CRWV. This is an IPO. This is a company that, as you and I sit and record this, the company's coming out today. It's Friday. So when the audience hears this on Monday, CoreWeave will be out and something that they're going to be looking at. And why will they not be impressed with CoreWeave?
Yeah, this one, we wanted to go right from the jump, you know, on day it starts trading, because as we know with IPOs, it's probably overpriced. That is not only the case here, that the overvaluation, even at their lowered price target, but there's just a lot of red flags underlying the business. You've got a business that is quickly growing revenue, but still has negative core earnings. You've got a business that has more debt than people just looking at the indebtedness on the balance sheet might notice originally. Companies with competitors that are also customers that might not be customers for as long as you might hope. And like I said, the overvaluation of the company, even at that 40 a share IPO price.
We should point out CoreWeave, because my audience probably hasn't heard of it. CoreWeave leases equipment that's within data centers to customers. So in other words, if you need a piece of a data center, you can't afford to build one entirely your own. You kind of take a piece of a CoreWeave facility, if I understand it correctly. And the interesting thing to me has been that a lot of the pre-IPO hype has been at both ends of the spectrum. You wind up watching people saying, oh, at $40, it's well below estimates. And then others are going, at $40, it looks pricey. Why are you suggesting in this case it's pricey and way out of whack?
Yeah, this is one where at 40 a share, you know, it gives around a $19 billion valuation. They were previously hoping to get upwards of $35 billion. So it's at least good from our perspective to see that number come back down, you know, some rational thought in the valuation process. But you've got a business, like you said, you know, they're leasing out GPUs, CPUs for a lot of AI work. Their biggest customer is Microsoft, which accounted for 62% of their revenue in 2024. So you're essentially, you know, almost an entirely Microsoft business that Microsoft has, you know, their own data centers. If they need excess capacity to run some AI models, they go to CoreWeave, say, hey, we need some space. Let's lease it from you. That customer concentration is actually increasing. Two customers in 2024 were 77% of the company's revenue, up from 41% a couple of years ago for the top customers. So you've got a significant, you know, concentration issue. And then you've got the tech obsolescence issue. They're leasing out GPUs and CPUs that get outdated within a, you know, product cycle. So you've got a costly business to manage. All leads to, you know, low ROIC, low invested capital turns in a business where, as I said, most of their customers could eventually be competitors, are already competitors. If the AI boom ends up slowing down at all, that excess, you know, workflow capacity that Microsoft might need, that might no longer need, it says, okay, we don't even need your services anymore. But it's coming out with a $19 billion valuation, which is, you know, magnitudes higher than kind of any rational discounted cash flow model we ran.
Let's also point out that as you guys dug in, and I've read the report you issued on CoreWeave, there are things in here that I don't see with a lot of stocks you guys talk about. And that includes some zombie stocks and the rest, which is 200% of its debt is off its balance sheet, which, by the way, is also why profits are misleading. And you say it's got weak internal controls. And oh, by the way, the investors who are buying the IPO aren't really getting much in terms of the voting rights, et cetera. How does that happen? Like, all of that, wouldn't you think those are red flags, not just to you, but to everyone?
They should be. And you could say, how did that happen? And it is through generally accepted accounting principles. Under the GAAP reporting, companies can take their operating leases, and if they're considered not yet commenced, which essentially they're on their books, but they haven't started yet, they don't have to report them directly on their balance sheet. So we go in and as their operating lease obligations. So we go in and we add that into total debt. So we see that, you know, the company says they have $8 billion in total indebtedness. If we include those operating leases and the not yet commenced, we're looking at around $24.5 billion in total debt. So there's, you know, huge difference there if you're digging in and looking at beyond what GAAP accounting would let you do and actually find the true economics of what's going on. And operating leases are a huge part of their business because they are leasing those data centers, filling them full of equipment, and then selling or renting that equipment out to the customers. Work internal controls is something that is also a big deal. Essentially, it's saying, hey, we're not totally sure. We've got a handle on all the financial reporting that we're doing. In this case, it was identified by the company because the auditor is not required to do it right before the IPO. As they're, you know, an emerging growth company, they have some lower disclosure requirements. But so it's good to see the company flagged it, but it's also negative in the sense that they say it could take until 2026 to fix. So you've got an increased risk of restatements, you know, incorrect financials somewhere along the way. And the investors with no voting power, unfortunately, has become almost the norm in a lot of these IPOs, especially tech IPOs, where you've got the dual class shares with the founders get way more voting power, even though they don't own majority of the shares. And so you've got a situation where you're buying into an IPO and you've got no say on, you know, corporate governance, you know, voting in your shares. You'll vote and the people who own the B class shares have 10 votes per year one vote.
Is there a no growth value? Like, obviously this stock has not been around. So how do we ascribe a value to it? What do you think this IPO should actually be worth?
Yeah, we can still run it through because we've got all the financials from their S1. We can put it through our, you know, normal reverse discounted cash flow model. We can see that, you know, at the $40 a share, which is what it priced at, they essentially have to have margins at 25% through 2032 and grow revenue 28% a year through 2032. We've got huge expectations even in that $40 a share. You know, that would be almost $14 billion in revenue. Almost the $3.5 billion in profit, NOPAT, compared to the revenue, and that implication is 7 times higher than their current revenue. So you've got huge growth baked into that 40 a share. We wanted to look at one scenario where we go, okay, you know, if margins fall to 20%, they're currently at 27%, which is, you know, tech-like for a company that is essentially leasing data center space. If NOPAT margins fall to 20%, revenue still grows 28% compound annually through 2032. You're looking at 23 a share. And then if we look at the no growth value, economic book value, you're looking at negative 34 a share. So on a no growth value, it's nothing. You know, even an optimistic scenario could be as low as, you know, 23 a share.
And we should point out that when it came out and priced at 40, a lot of people were disappointed that it wasn't significantly higher. CoreWeave initially said it expected to the IPO to price between 47 and 55 bucks a share. By the way, NVIDIA, of course, has a huge stake in CoreWeave, and it would have been over $1 billion at that point. It's a lot less. And of course, the danger is it's going to be a lot less than that going forward. It's the big IPO of this month. As we record this, it's not out, but as you hear it, CoreWeave, CRWV, not just the newest stock on the market, but the latest pick for the danger zone. Kyle Guskey, great stuff as always. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com to find out more about what they do, to dig in on the most attractive and most dangerous stocks, the zombie stocks, and all the rest. We aren't stopping the party. We're just leaving the baddest biker bar in the world, and we're heading to the big interview. Because up next on Money Life, Jason Furman, Harvard economist, former top economist in the country. He is here. We're talking about, has tech gotten too big? We'll talk current events and more when Money Life continues right after this message.